You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, September 10th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or through the app, or on social media, or by podcast. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Do you make a casserole with tater tots? I mean, I've made casseroles before, but I finally crossed a threshold in the use of tater tots. And it has more to do with my love of my cast iron skillets than anything else. But we'll get into food talk coming up in just a bit. But I feel like I've either crossed some kind of a boundary in my kitchen or with my age that I'm now using tater tots in my casserole. All right, and much more important news coming up later in the show. We're going to talk live with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, the most recent candidate to get into the 2026 race for Wisconsin governor. We'll talk about his decision to run and what he wants voters to know about his experience and his positions. As the field grows a little bit larger and more candidates yet to be expected to run for the governor's post next year, with Tony Evers not running for a third term. In this hour, well, Derek Van Orden doing Derek Van Orden things. It's already well documented that Derek Van Orden spends a lot of time scrolling and trolling through social media, but even by his standards, it was weird that he put a new comment on a photo from a post from 2 years ago. Even weirder, the photo he commented on shows him on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th, 2021, and the comment he put was, "Hell yes." Now, Van Orden claims he did not take part in the domestic terrorism that followed on that fateful day, but really, is it that much better to simply be a spectator to a treasonous mob after deciding he would fly there to support a knowingly false claim about the 2020 election? And oh, wait, there's more. Wait till you hear what he had to say yesterday about the Epstein Files case. Also, I had one of the biggest billion-dollar surprises in Wisconsin, I think, would be if you were to find out how many taxpayers have no idea how much public tax money is going to the private school voucher scheme. It's more than $700 million this year, and it is getting close to that 10-digit annual payout. And we'll tell you how a group is launching a transparency campaign to build public awareness before this program swallows up more of the state budget and skims even more resources away from our neighborhood schools. We'll have a guest from Clean Wisconsin on how all those massive new data centers are sucking up groundwater wherever they pop up. That might be good for all these servers and their artificial intelligence, but not so good for the neighbors whose wells have run dry. So all of that ahead between now and 9 a.m. And if you can't stick around for all of it, that's why we got a podcast version of this program as well. You skip the commercials and everything else. So head over to Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, and become a subscriber and catch everything that we are working on. Let's look at the forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot, who will be here less than an hour from now. She says better weather is around the corner, cranking up the humidity and the temperatures for the weekend. So summer will make a return. And I guess you could say tomorrow, roughly, is when summer comes back for a spell. I don't know how long. It looks like, you know, a good week or so of summer-like weather is coming back. For today, however, isolated showers to start the day, then more spots of sun later on. Highs will be in the upper 60s up north to the mid-70s south, with a light southeasterly wind. For tonight, mixed skies and mild, Brittany says. Lows tonight around 50 up north, 55 to the south, with a light wind out of the east. Right now, it is 59 degrees here in Chippewa Falls and just pleasant as all get out. What do you say we check the conditions in Madison? Head down to Madison Studio A2 at Civic Media's Global HQ at the top of State Street, one block off the Capitol Square, where Parker Olson's camouflaged. There's a Civic Media banner behind him. I think that's a Civic Media t-shirt he's wearing. I can't see him with all the Civic Media logos around.
I'm everywhere. You can't find me.
Yeah, I can hear you, though. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty well, Pat. Nice-ish, I think. It felt nice when I walked out the door, but I was not out the door for very long because I woke up very late today and got up, dressed, and to work in about 25 minutes, half an hour.
who doesn't love that routine when you wake up and realize, oh no, It's time for the speed round of getting ready. I feel very fortunate, knock on some wood here. I have not had to do that yet for this particular, show, but there have been plenty of times in the past where you just kind of open your eyes, and especially if both spouses forget to set an alarm and eventually one wakes up and you hear the other one going, oh no. And you're shooting out of bed and flying around to get ready. Tony asks on YouTube, is it because you stayed up late listening to Stacey Abrams and Madison last night for Cap Time's Idea Fest?
I should have. That's a better idea than what I did because I just watched the Brewers lose.
Oh, yeah. No, that wasn't pleasant at all. We'll get to that in just a bit. So what did the alarm go off or was the alarm just not set?
Oh, the alarm went off. There's four alarms, Pat.
Oh, this is a four-alarm job that you have. This is great.
Yes. There are contingency plans, and those contingencies did not work. And thankfully, I'm too anxious to miss work to miss all work. Right. So,
see, anxiety, you can use it to the good. So, yeah, you got that going.
Got
for
my
you.
Stamp of approval.
Which is nice. Well, let's see. I already connected with some folks here on YouTube. Michael saying tater tot casserole is the best. I made it last night, he says. Tony says, I love tater tot casserole. So there you go. The story on that is there was a block party here, and then we did not know if we were going to go to it or not in our neighborhood. And as you know, we ended up going out of town to visit some friends. But I had all the ingredients just in case. And for this particular gathering, I thought, well, let's make some kind of a casserole. Then I realized when I make something, it's usually like pasta based like some elbow macaroni or, noodles or whatever. And the whole reason I've never used tater tots is because it sounds like too cliche. Like that's what every Midwesterner does is they put the tater tots and then they put the green beans in there and all that. I'm just I don't want to do that.
It's very stereotypical.
What I found was basically a cheesy, cheeseburger casserole with tater tots.
Ooh.
So it was ground beef and cream of mushroom soup and then just the right combination of spices and then some sharp cheddar cheese. That to me made all the difference.
Yeah.
And then throw the tater tots on top, throw it all in a big old cast iron skillet and put that thing in the oven. And oh man, when you think tater tot casserole, what do you think? You think bland, right? I'm not saying this was spicy. I'm just saying it was the recipe I found online.
That sharp cheddar really got you.
The sharp cheddar really does it. No, that and the other spices. Speaking of the skillet, Tony asks, did Pat make shepherd's pie last weekend? No, I did not. I know I said I was going to. And like I said, plans changed. But there will be before too long. Roger on Facebook writes from Stevens Point, a tater tot casserole isn't a tater tot casserole until it includes the second ingredient, cream of mushroom soup. Yes, that's very true.
So you passed that.
I had that. I just went with the ground beef and the extra sharp cheddar, the secret ingredient.
Very important.
I love that. This is also new to Parker. Like, oh God, he's talking about cream of mushroom soup and tater tots.
But yeah.
There are other things I could be talking about. This is true.
I would rather hear this than DVO talk.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to Derek Van Orden and what all he had to say recently coming up before long. But I suppose we better get back to the Brewers game from yesterday. But let me take you all the way back to May 19th.
Oh.
When Michael Hellman was just a sad little rookie who had been put on waivers by Pittsburgh and picked up by the Texas Rangers. Michael Hellman has found his groove in Arlington, and he has made life miserable this week for the Milwaukee Brewers. On Monday, he hit his first ever grand slam and had five RBIs total. And then last night, Hellman hit a two-run homer and made a leaping backhanded catch over the fence in left center to rob Bryce Durang as the Rangers beat the Brewers again. This time the score was 5-4. And the Cubs also won. So the Brewers' magic number to clinch a playoff spot remains at 2 to clinch the division 11, if I'm not mistaken.
I think
so. We move on from here. We wrap up the series with a day game today. It'll be Freddy Peralta going for his league-leading 17th win if he were to get it today in Game 3 of the series. The pregame will begin at 1 o'clock on several Civic Media stations, and then a day off tomorrow, and it's back home for a weekend series with the St. Louis Cardinals. So it would be nice to have the Brewers get back to their winning ways, especially this afternoon, but certainly in time for a division series against the Cardinals.
Yeah, it'd be really nice if the Brewers could find a way to hit the ball where people aren't.
Oh my gosh, have they had a habit of that in some of these games?
I don't know how many people have been watching these games instead of just listening on the radio, and I'm sure it comes across on the radio too, but my goodness,
yeah,
they are finding gloves like nobody else.
It's almost like, you know, the reverse method. Like they're like, here are the outfielders, hit the ball to the target.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if or how they would even track this, but if there were a stat for hardest hit balls that were caught directly by the outfielder,
yeah,
that, you know, had they landed just a few feet either side would have gone to the fence.
Yeah.
The Brewers got to be way up there on that.
I would think even infield hit infield too, because there was the first baseman for the Rangers last night had like three, like, look what I found catches. Like,
yeah. Yep. It happens. All right. Let's move over to football here, where I just heard this from Mike Clemens and had to confirm it myself. I had to see it to believe it. Christian Watson signing a 1-year deal, an extension for his contract worth $13 million through 2026. He is still recovering from an ACL injury, and then I know he had some other injury before that. So apparently he's supposed to be back later in the season or not. You know, we'll see. The thing is, again, he is clearly a talented receiver, very talented. But, I mean, he and Garrett Mitchell for the Brewers. I mean,
even Garrett Mitchell, man.
I mean, those two just cannot stay healthy for as much talent as they have. And it's just look, it's frustrating for the fans. It's got to be massively frustrating for them.
Okay.
Although for them, they still get these $1 million paychecks. So maybe it is a little bit more frustrating for us.
True.
Because nobody's giving us $1 million for our frustration. But the Packers are on a short week. They're a little banged up. This could make things difficult tomorrow. Yes, I said tomorrow. The Packers kick off week 2 of the football season, hosting the Washington Commanders. Coverage will begin tomorrow at 5 p.m. on WRCO in Richland Center, WCQM in Park Falls, WRJN in Racine, WAUH in Wautoma. And, of course, the Wisconsin Badgers are playing at Alabama this Saturday. Coverage begins at 9 o'clock Saturday morning on stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. All right, well, when we come back, we will talk about Derek Van Orden and the way he just casually dismissed one of the latest things we've learned about the Epstein Files case. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I've got some interesting news for you today on this Wednesday morning as we close in on 6:23. we have our new newsletter editor starting today. That's right. Ellie Bordeaux is the new newsletter editor for Up North News. Born and raised in Oconomowoc and has called Wisconsin home her whole life, and introduces herself in our daily newsletter today. And then, of course, has all the usual great Wisconsin features and news stories, including a note here about Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley announcing that he's running for governor, and he will be joining us at 8:52 this morning. So get to know Ellie by signing up for our newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. Courier has outlets in several states, newsletters, podcasts, and more. One of those newsletters by Melissa Ryan is called Control-Alt-Right-Delete. It's a weekly newsletter devoted to covering the rise of far-right extremism, white nationalism, disinformation, and online toxicity. And in this week's edition, Epstein survivors speak out, and they've got the receipts. Donald Trump's continued efforts to kill the public outrage about the Epstein scandal are not working. It is one of the rare issues that the vast majority of Americans can agree on. Don't obstruct those victims who are seeking justice. These women aren't going away, and the price of ignoring them is the ongoing speculation about just what is it that some powerful men are trying so hard to keep covered up. Read all about it in Control-Alt-Right-Delete from Melissa Ryan. Head over to couriernewsroom.com to learn more. You want an example of that denial? Give a listen to what Congressman Derek Van Orden said. This is a clip from Fox News that somebody grabbed off of Twitter and put the clip up. And he was asked about the newly released birthday card that was made for Jeffrey Epstein many years ago, including a note, a signed note by Donald Trump, with essentially a crude drawing of a woman on it. And Derek Van Orden, who is apparently a handwriting expert, had this to say about it.
Well, clearly the birthday note for President Trump is a fallacy. It's just not true. And that's a leftist talking point. It's horrible.
It's a fallacy. And it's a leftist talking point. It's evidence is what that is. He's babbling. And you could see it in the clip. He's babbling. He's struggling. Everybody else who's working so hard to defend Donald Trump is doing this. And I mean, to call this thing a fake, keep in mind, this particular birthday card, this note, has been seen for years and years and years, long before Donald Trump got into politics. It was out there. So for you to believe it was fake would be a grand conspiracy to go back 20 years and say, let's create this fake note because 20 years later, this guy's going to get elected president. And then we're going to nail him with this. I mean, I don't like using the S word, but this isn't ridiculous. It's stupid. It's stupid to believe and to defend that. Don't knee-jerk defend something like this. You should be asking questions, and you should be saying those questions deserve answers. But Derek Van Orden, like so many other people, Derek is convinced that Donald Trump has control over all just the right people. Why? Well, why wouldn't he believe that? Look how long Trump has lasted, even after being convicted on 34 felonies. The way somebody put it in Twitter world here, when you're in a cult, nothing matters more than protecting the leader. Why? Because your entire sense of self-worth and your entire worldview are predicated on the leader's success. If he goes down, you have nothing left, and that's what makes them so dangerous. Oh, but wait, there's more. Derek Van Orden loves his scrolling and trolling on social media. So it was very interesting that he commented on a post, but not some recent post. Somehow or another, he'd gone back 2 years at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin site and found a post from July 28th of 2023 with a photo of Derek Van Orden on the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th, 2021. The post from July of 2023 is in the wake of Derek Van Orden harassing those teenage pages at the U.S. Capitol. Remember, late at night as they were in the Capitol Rotunda, and the State Democratic Party post put up the photo of Derek Van Orden from January 6th, saying, "Let's not let anyone forget that Derek Van Orden crossed police lines taking selfies as a violent mob attacked the U.S. Capitol." All right. So again, that post was from July of 2023. But on Monday evening at 8:50 p.m., Derek Van Orden put a comment under that. And the comment read, "Hell yes. Thank you for pointing out that I stand for voter integrity and respect our institutions." To which the Democratic Party of Wisconsin quickly responded to his post with this, saying, "Did you really spend your Monday night scrolling back through over 2 years of Facebook posts to brag about a violent attack on law enforcement and an attempt to overturn the 2020 election?" Because that's exactly what it looks like, that this is somebody who will constantly search for himself on social media, the kind of guy who Googles himself and will go to every platform to see who's writing what about him and then respond to it. And he does that. He's in the comment sections everywhere, taking people down a notch for daring to criticize their member of Congress, who we expect to be better behaved. But when it starts by being on the Capitol grounds as a treasonous mob is around you, well, how could we set our sights much lower? Hey, where else can you find Guns N' Roses and Chuck Berry? Well, that'd be today's history lesson. That's coming up live from the lake after the Midwest Farm Report here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum. Get ready, play your air drums. Yeah, we know that one. That's Nirvana, Smells Like Teen Spirit, released as a single this day in 1991. And I think I did this to poor Greg last year as well, because everybody loves the way those drums come in so much. Do you mind stopping and starting that one again?
Really?
Can you do it? Yeah, can you do that?
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know people love the eardrums on this.
I do. Yeah. All right, everybody. One,
here we go.
Two, three.
I firmly believe that people would wake up better if they did that first thing in the morning, if that's what your alarm was.
I would have woken up on time, yeah.
You would have, absolutely. So that from Nirvana was released as a single this day in 1991, kicking off today's history lesson. We have an anniversary to celebrate out of Green Bay. Fox 11, WLUK, began broadcasting this day in 1954. So happy 71st birthday to the folks at Fox 11. At least I think they're still called Fox 11. I haven't been
I believe
over
they are.
For a while. So.
May or may not have a friend that works there. Yeah. I don't remember.
Okay. We have a few iconic song intros here, not just Nirvana. It's always a tough one to go whether with that one or Guns N' Roses, but they're on the calendar because they opened up as the opening act for Aerosmith this week in 1988, and they hit number one with this. I didn't want to step on anybody doing air guitar. Today's just basically, it's an air band day.
It's a very fun history lesson.
Yeah. Guitar Hero. Did you play that much?
No, I never did.
It was all the rage?
No.
I didn't. I knew I wouldn't be able to, but I always enjoyed watching other people trying to learn it.
Yes.
Emphasis on trying.
Emphasis on trying, yes. We had a Whitewater, our radio station, did a music festival. And one of the things that we did was we had air guitar, like, between bands.
Oh, sure.
And, or not air guitar, Guitar Hero. And people went crazy on that thing. There are people who know how to play.
Oh, no doubt. I will say we did try it once. We were at a house party or something, and somebody had it. And so everybody had to give it a try. So, you know, nothing like making a fool of yourself in front of all of your friends.
But there you go.
We all took a turn, so it's okay. This week in 1991, the Senate Judiciary Committee began hearings on Clarence Thomas's nomination to the U.S. Supreme Court. Bad judgment, 34 years ago this week. Let's see. On this day in 1955, Chuck Berry reached number 5 on the charts with his very first hit.
Maybelline, why can't you be true? Oh, Maybelline, why can't you be true? You just started doing the things you used to do.
So why did Maybelline reach its peak at number 5 on the charts? Well, let's see. Who had the 4 spots ahead of him? Pat Boone, again. Mitch Miller, the McGuire sisters, and Tennessee Ernie Ford, who, again, I remind people, played at my high school prom.
What?
I've told you that story. Tennessee Ernie Ford and Florence Henderson were the entertainment at our high school prom.
That's crazy. You had someone notable at your prom. Wow.
They weren't really at our prom. Our prom was at the old Carlton Celebrity Dinner Theater. And we were in one of the other rooms, but you had to come into the dinner theater to get your dinner and sit there and eat your dinner watching Florence Henderson and Tennessee Ernie Ford sing old songs. And then you go back down the hall, and we had some kind of a punk band or something for our actual prom.
Okay. That makes a lot more sense.
It makes much more sense now. Yes. Happy birthday to Jose Feliciano. You know him for the Christmas classic Feliz Navidad, but he had plenty of other hits in his years. He turns 80 years old today. This is just another great intro.
I don't think I've ever heard this. This is really good.
I suppose you might have only heard the Doors singing Light My Fire, but give a listen as he picks this up.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar.
Just a really nice hit from Jose Feliciano, who turns 80 years old today. Aerosmith's lead guitarist, Joe Perry, today is his 75th birthday. I wonder if he can still play, you know, the way that he has all these years. Because, you know, like I said, I was watching the band Chicago. Now, they were all playing their horns and keyboards as well as they ever did. So I haven't heard Joe Perry lately, so I can say that with any certainty. Actor Colin Firth is 65 years old today. All right, let's get to 1966. I got the number one album and the number one single from this day 59 years ago. The number one album was Revolver from the Beatles. Another iconic intro. I mean, if you're going to highlight Revolver, where do you go? You got Eleanor Rigby. You've got Taxman. You've got Here, There, and Everywhere. You've got Good Day, Sunshine. You've got to Get You Into My Life. It's just definitely my favorite Beatles album.
Yeah, there's a lot of good
although
ones.
That's saying something, because there were a lot of good ones on either side of that as well. Awesome. But Revolver was the number one album this week in 1966. The number one single was by the Supremes, where it would stay number one on the singles chart for 2 weeks. Another big intro.
I need love to ease my mind. I need to find.
I mean, we could have condensed this entire segment into like 90 seconds just by playing those intros.
Pretty
all
much.
Back to back.
Yeah. What I'm hearing, Pat, is that to make this show really like award winning material that went sweeps everything, is we just need a better intro. We need an iconic intro.
We need an iconic intro?
Yeah. Okay. Right? So that's what I'm hearing from this.
We'll get to work on that. I actually might have one. I've been saving this for a while. There is a band based out of Eau Claire called the Jaggernauts.
Yeah.
I knew of them, but not much. And I thought the band had broken up. It turns out that years and years ago, on one of their albums is a song, and the title of the song is simply Kreitlow.
Yeah.
And it's got a great intro. The lyrics are a little dark, as are many things from the band. And I've never really found out why they gave it that name. Were they knocking me for some reason? Because I think I was still doing TV at the time, or what? Dude, and one of these days, I'm going to ask for their permission to use that for the show intro.
I was going to say, do we have form of contact for them? Because I would love to get that on. It would be awesome to bring them on the show.
They just got back together, and I think they're going to be playing in Madison this week.
Really?
Yeah, they played in Eau Claire last Friday at the Mousetrap. So they do still get back together. So let's, if they come down to Madison, somebody ask them if the song would work or not. Hey, Melissa Kay is here from WFHR, WIRI in beautiful Wisconsin Rapids, looking wonderful in a colorful shirt and a nice little, what kind of cap do we call those?
Page boy? I don't know.
Page boy, engineer's cap, whatever. Very nice. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm here. Yes. Hello.
Well, okay.
Nice. See, you sound like Parker, who woke up really late today and got in just under the wire. So we totally understand. How are things in Rapids this week?
They're good.
Okay. I know we've got some new faces at Civic Media. I'm sure you're busy getting to know them, train them, things like that.
Yes, we have a new reporter in our Wausau station, which is right next door to us, Isabella Nieto.
Okay. It'll be good to welcome her. And I know there's at least one other new reporter.
Yes, Connie in Green Bay. I don't know her last name yet.
Gotcha. It'll keep somebody busy. That's for sure. All right. Back to the history lesson here. On this day in 1953, Swanson sold its first TV dinner, a turkey meal with cornbread dressing, peas, and sweet potatoes. Now, there are a lot of frozen dinners out there nowadays. I mean, there's no shortage of things. But the original TV dinner in the foil packaging, that had to have come and gone by the time. I mean, have either one of you had like an old school TV dinner?
Yes.
Oh. You have.
It was like a special treat.
Oh, yes.
We only got them like once in a really great while, because they were far more expensive than
they were,
you know, making in your own food.
Wait, they were good?
They used to be.
They were. Yeah. I can't vouch for them nowadays, but you know, you would, as a kid, you'd only get turkey on Thanksgiving. And so to get this sliced turkey in gravy. Or, of course, there was the Salisbury steak, which I'm
sure... Salisbury steak was my favorite.
I'm still not sure what makes it Salisbury. I've never looked into what exactly is it that makes...
That's where they made it. Meat.
Yeah, I guess. anyway, so the TV dinners were kind of a big deal for the baby boomers, as they were all watching their TV and wanted to eat in front of the TV. So, again, that dates back to 1953.
Yeah. That was much less food then.
Yes, Alex Trebek hosted the first episode of Jeopardy as a syndicated game show on this day in 1984. Wow. And I knew Alex Trebek at that point had been a game show host on multiple different game shows, but within years there were basically only two game shows left, Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy, and he had one of them there. And let's see, we've got another TV debut. This one, a show that debuted on NBC this day in 1990, 35 years ago today.
Now this is a story all about how my life got flipped, turned upside down. And I'd like to take a minute, just sit right there. I'll tell you how I became the prince of a town called Bel Air.
There you go. Apparently he was just playing some basketball in West Philadelphia, born and raised. Were you, either one of you, viewers of the Fresh Prince back in the day?
I got to see it a little bit, but we weren't really allowed to watch TV, so.
Yes, I know that really has gotten in the way of, you know, us bouncing cultural references off of each other.
And
that was Parker, just pre-me a little.
Yeah, the show predates you, so I don't know if you've ever seen reruns of it or anything like that.
No, I watched a bit of Will Smith. House, but not Fresh Prince. Okay. No.
Gotcha. Okay. So did either one of you see like the more dramatic, darker version that came out? What was it, a year or two ago on Netflix? Was it?
Oh no!
Oh, I heard it. No, I didn't see it though.
Yeah, kind of like quite dark and dramatic. Kind of like what Riverdale did to the Archie comics. But anyway, let's check in with everybody's favorite pigeon. How's Lilu doing this week?
Well, you know, we had a disrupted night, hence the hat. But not their fault. I'm still fighting with a bed that I cut in half with a bread knife. So.
Oh.
I didn't tell you that story.
No. And you got all the 20 seconds. What can you tell us?
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when you have a foam mattress that's just too squishy, you have to make it a little squishy. So you cut in half with a bread knife.
That's a DIY hack I did not know about. And
okay.
We will definitely explore that another time. Melissa Kay, you can catch her on WFHR out of Wisconsin Rapids. Listen through the Civic Media app. Melissa, thank you so much. Good to see you.
You too.
All right. Have a great day. Let's pause here. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll talk about transparency for taxpayers on voucher schools. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. My kingdom, I was finally there to sit on my throne as the Prince of Bel-Air.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Coming up later today on the Civic Media Radio Network, Matt and Air on Air follows this program 9 to 11 weekdays. Greg Bach is flying solo this week while Jane's off. And coming up at 9:35, Greg will be talking to Andra Watkins, New York Times bestselling author, discussing Christian nationalism in the United States. And then after 10 o'clock, economics professor Rick Reed will talk about the way that President Trump is putting pressure on the Federal Reserve to lower interest rates. And for whatever reason, Todd Alba, whose show is on from 2 to 4 today, keeps insisting on having me on Wednesday afternoons. And so you can catch me just after 2 o'clock along with Trigvi Olson from The Lincoln Project on the Todd Alba Show coming up this afternoon across the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, a few more notes from today's history lesson. And, you know, they're not all happy, fun, music-based or whatever, entertainment-based. There are occasional serious notes to put in there. And so the reason I'm sharing one about something called the Latimer Massacre, I'm sorry, let me try that again, the Latimer Massacre of 1897 is to show the ways that we are still trying to evolve in this country and live truer to our ideals. But on this day in 1897 in Latimer, Pennsylvania, a sheriff's posse killed 19 unarmed striking immigrant miners. It was an outrage that single-handedly propelled the United Mine Workers Union in membership and in power, eventually leading to higher wages and safer conditions. But sadly, it just far too often takes tragedies like this to convince corporations to do better by their workers. So again, that massacre of striking immigrant miners in Pennsylvania took place this day in 1897. All right, a couple of sports notes for you now. And I'm going to admit, Parker, that I did not know this until yesterday. If you'd have told me the origin of the Rams, I would have said, well, they were the Los Angeles Rams, and then they were the St. Louis Rams for a while, and now they're the Los Angeles Rams again, right?
Yeah.
And they actually started someplace else. Did not know that, but it was on this day in 1937 that the Cleveland Rams played their first game as an NFL team. Huh. The Rams played in Cleveland from 1937 to 1945. Now, in 1945, the Cleveland Rams won the NFL championship. And then moved to Los Angeles, becoming the first of only two professional football teams to play the following season in another city.
And forever ruining football in Cleveland.
Yeah, forever. Yeah, exactly. And for folks who are saying, wait, there's another football champion team that left the city? Yeah, this was in the old AFL, which is now the AFC conference in the NFL. But at the time, in 1962, the Dallas Texans, The 1962 version had won the AFL championship, but they really couldn't compete with the NFL's Dallas Cowboys. And so the Dallas Texans relocated to Kansas City and rebranded themselves as the Kansas City Chiefs and have been there for good. So there's your sports trivia for the day. For folks who don't know why Deion Sanders is such a name, how do you get to be such a thing? Is it just because he's a loudmouth and brash and everything else? The fact of the matter is he got to where he was because he was a hell of an athlete. And it was on this day in 1989 as a two-way player. 5 days after hitting a home run for the Yankees, he returned a punt 68 yards for a touchdown. So home run and a touchdown in the same week for Deion Sanders.
That's such a funny stat.
The guy was good.
Yeah. I really wish I got to see that actually.
Again, he loved to tell you that he was good.
Yeah, but he kind of earned it, though.
Yeah, he did have the goods to back it up. Let's see. On this day in 2019, Donald Trump fired his national security advisor, John Bolton. There's some foreshadowing for you. And then finally, 1 year ago today, where the presidential debate between Donald Trump and Kamala Harris. It became famous for various phrases of Trump's. For example, here he is acknowledging that he still has no plan to replace the Affordable Care Act.
Just a yes or no, you still do not have a plan.
I have concepts of a plan. I'm not president right now. But if we come up with something, I would only change it if we come up with something that's better and less expensive. And there are concepts and options we have to do that. And you'll be hearing about it in the not too distant future.
Narrator, we are now in the not too distant future and we're still hearing nothing. It was in that same debate where there had been some racial unrest in Ohio and where Donald Trump famously blurted out this bit of, verbal diarrhea. Hit it.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
You can hear the laughter in the background of that. I mean, of probably camera operators and others that could not believe that this was being said by a former president and that he might actually have a chance to become president again. And then he did, still with concepts of a plan. So we got that going for us. All told, by the way, fact checkers found more than 30 different lies or misstatements from Donald Trump in that debate. On the National Day calendar for today, today is National TV Dinner Day. Of course, we mentioned what Swanson's did in 1953. So why not celebrate and have some dinner in front of the TV today? Oh, wait, we pretty much all do now all the time, don't we? And this is also Anti-Junk Light Day. And if you've ever flown at night, you understand what we're talking about here, where there's a lot of junk light that keeps people from seeing the stars, from enjoying the night sky. And there's really been a movement for years to get people to make sure their outdoor lighting at night is more directional and, you know, allow us to enjoy what the celestial masterpieces that we have up above us. Coming up at 7:07, meteorologist Brittany Merlot is going to talk about the return of summer weather. We'll talk about voucher transparency in our next hour. And at 8:52, Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley, candidate for governor. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops. But it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.